just unmeasured, boundless deep, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Unmeasured, boundless deep, 'tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis the source of peace and joy.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10. If you've been here on Sunday mornings and you realize we're going through the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings and you were not in Sunday school class, we did the next installment of the Mark series and the Sunday school class. So if it should be online for you to listen to in audio form. And the reason why we did that is because of I Love My Church Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about love today. If you... Not yesterday, but the week before yesterday, we had something called a Ladies Appreciation Luncheon, and that is the once a year where the men do the cooking and the serving and different things, just show our appreciation to the ladies for all the things they do throughout the year. Had a good time. We had an Italian theme. They had lasagna, they had spaghetti and meatballs, and it was called That's Amore. And you're saying, that's amore, what does that mean? Well, the word amore means love, and many people would know from that popular song, I guess it was a song many years ago, it was a little bit before my time. Yeah, I'm picking on some of you, that's okay. But it's the idea, the difference between biblical love and what the world will tell you. And I didn't speak that day to the ladies, but the thought there is still what the Lord laid upon my heart for this morning. And once again, we're not trying to promote some secular song, but some of the lines in it says, when the moon hits your eyes like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the stars make you drool just like a pasta, I don't even know how to say that word, Vazzoli, whatever that is. I guess Miss Fran knows the song. That's amore. So So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm saying that true biblical love has nothing to do with when the moon hits your eyes like a pizza pie. I don't even really know what that means, but that's amore. So what does love? So the word amore means love. And so the idea is if just at the right setting, at the right moment, if everything turns out perfectly, that's love. That's not what the Bible says. And so today we're going to look at some things that the Bible says this is love. Now, once again, I understand sometimes circumstances happen just the right time for you to be able to express your love or demonstrate your love to someone you love. I understand all that. I'm not picking on that. I'm not even picking on the fact that Valentine's Day is coming up, and that's a day that many times people will recognize those who they love and things like that. But when we're talking about what does the Bible say that love looks like? So what does the scripture say that? I mean, the world has their forms of love and has different things about, well, this is love when you do this, or this is love when you do that, and this is love when you do this. And there's all different types of people that have differences of opinions. But if the Bible is what we're here to preach and teach and learn from, what does the Bible say is love? And there's lots of different things that I don't know how far we're going to get today because there are a lot of things we want to cover, but I know no one wants to be here all day. But at the same time, I know everybody's looking forward to maybe eating in a little while. But when I thought about it, and the Lord kind of laid it upon my heart about having that theme, there's a couple stories that came to my mind that says, boy, that's what love looks like. And this is what love really truly is. And here in Luke, chapter number 10, verse number 25, the word of God says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted," he was testing, trying him, talking about Jesus, "saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, once again, the eternal life, we know that the Bible teaches us that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that there is a way of having eternal life. And that the scriptures teach us is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, turning to him, receiving him as our personal savior, all those different things. But this man is not interested in knowing the truth. We've been going through this in the Gospel of Mark, that there is a group of people out there that really wanted to trip Jesus up. Jesus being God that came and the form came, who was God, who became man for us to die for the sins of mankind. So that way we could have an opportunity to go to heaven. And all those different things, but this man's trying to mess with Jesus. He's not asking a question because he wants the truth. He's asking a question so that way he can try to tempt Jesus, try to get him to do something wrong, say something wrong, so they could sit there and say, just jump down his throat. Jesus, being God, obviously knows what's in his heart, knows what's in his mind. And he tells him, he says in verse 26, he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" So he says, "What do you think? You're lawyers. You're supposed to know the law." And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So he asked Jesus, "How do I get eternal life?" Jesus says, "What do you think?" And he begins to talk about love. And he talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And you see, there's a list of different things. And all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And then he says this, "and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast said right." He says, "Well, so if I love God this way, does that mean I get to heaven?" It's impossible for us to love God like that all the time. We're going to talk about the reason why we need a Savior. And that's the reason why he came, was to fulfill the law. Because in our own strength, we're not able to do it. It's by his strength. And he says, and he has said unto him, thou hast said right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, make himself look good, because that's what many times the Pharisees and religious leaders of that day would do things in order to gain favor of God. They think it by their possessions or by their actions, they would please God and God would give them eternal life. And he says here, and he says, but he wants to justify himself. He said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So he asked this question. So who is it that is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love as myself? And I believe that Jesus answers him with this parable. And in this parable, it shows you this is what love looks like. He's saying, hey, how am I supposed to love my neighbor as myself? How am I supposed to love someone else? So if you're keeping an outline, this might be the only point we get to. But the first point is what God says loving another looks like. what God says loving another looks like. And he's getting ready to tell the story. We're going to go through the story in a minute. Because loving someone else that loves you is not what biblical love is. The Bible even says in Luke 6:32, "For if ye love them that love which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." And so what the scripture is saying there, if you love people that are easy to love or the people that are going to love you back, he says everybody does that. And there it says sinners does that. Gentiles is mentioned another time. He says those who do not know God, everybody loves those who are going to love them back. But he says this is what love looks like. So if you're looking at, and that title of this morning's message is That's Love. Look what God says here. Jesus being God. He says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his garment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. We're not going to take a long time to develop the story like we often do, just because of the fact there's other things I want to get to. But this is pretty obvious. You know, he's there. He's traveling. He is attacked. He fell among thieves. And he's there. And he's left wounded. He's left half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. So you have two men that are religious in nature, have a religious type position, that they see this man and they go over. One looks at him and still passes by on the other side. The other one doesn't want to have anything to do with him. So he's saying, this is an example. Hey, this is what love does not look like. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, this is what it doesn't look like. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter what your position is. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how long, if you've never been here before. Doesn't matter if you know anything about God or if you know a lot about God. If you want to know what love looks like, it's not ignoring those that have a need. Then it continues on. He says in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans are some. It was a group that did not have a dealing with the Jews. They did not like each other at all. They would walk around their area just so they didn't have to go through the town. They did not speak to one another. They hated one another in a sense. So when Jesus puts in here a Samaritan, this is kind of, you know, they look at the Levites and they look at the priests and they're thinking those are really, really good people. The Samaritan would be the person that is the person that no one would want to spend time with or be around. But it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So in the story, the man that's left half dead, naked, whatever, the Samaritan comes by and he sees him and he helps him. He takes care of him. He bandages him up. He pours ointment or things in the wounds and puts him on his own beast and then walks the rest of the way to the inn and gives the innkeeper money. And he takes out his wallet and says, here, let me give you something to take care of him. And if you spend more on him, when I come back, I'll pay you more. So I think this is what Jesus is saying. That's what love looks like. That's, you know, I know some people say, well, loving is this and that. But he asked this question and he says, love the Lord thy God and all those things and love the neighbor as thyself. And he says, this was his response. This is what loving your neighbor looks like. This is what loving others looks like. It means caring for others. It means going out of your way for others. It means being a help to others. And he even asked the question in verse number 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So he turns around, and Jesus was perfect at this. He turns around and he turns the tables on him because he's trying to get that lawyer to think. That lawyer has a need, has the same need all mankind has. All mankind are sinners. All mankind need a savior. The lawyer doesn't understand that. The lawyer is interested in justifying himself. The lawyer is saying, well, how can I know who my neighbor is? What is it? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, you know, your neighbor isn't just the person you live next to or the person that you have a relationship, not the person that's even your acquaintance. The neighbor is that that gentleman that is there lying on the road you've never met, but normally you would never even talk to, that normally you would never ever associate with, that normally if you see they have a need, that is what love looks like. Now, do we all struggle with that? We do. I do. And I want to do what is right. And when I read this story, there's conviction there because I want to be a help. And he said in verse number 37, the lawyer said, and he said, "He that showeth mercy on him," then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." And so when he goes and try to do the things, you know what's going to happen? He's going to realize, I can't love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my might. I can't love my neighbor as myself. And he realizes he has a need. And that's what Jesus came to this world to do, to show people they had a need. But I think it's interesting in this, that's love. And then I thought about different extreme examples in the Bible, different people that said what love looks like. Because some people, it's amazing. I'll just give you an illustration because we like talking about children because children are in the back, at least the younger children are in the back. It's sort of like some parents love giving their children everything. And that's what love looks like to them. And some parents like to be super strict on their kids. And they says, I do that out of love. You know, I give you everything. I let you do whatever you want because I love you. And then some other parents will be like, I'm not going to let you do anything because I love you. So which one's right? Which one's wrong? And there's scripture about that. But it just shows you different people have different opinions about what love is and what love looks like. And this man says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is it that I'm supposed to love like myself? He says, anyone, especially someone that has a need. That's what love looks like. And I began thinking about different Bible characters, and we obviously don't have time to go through all the different stories, but I thought about some Bible characters I'd like to mention to you. I thought about a story about Hosea and Gomer. If you know about the minor prophet Hosea, he was told he married a woman that was known for being a harlot, and then he gets married to the woman, and the lady leaves in adultery. And the husband still continues to follow after the woman. And the woman even is sold into slavery because of all of her sexual sins and all those different things like that. No one wanted her. She's put up on a block to sell. And the husband comes back and buys her. The husband who was good to her, the husband that was faithful to her all this time, and he went and bought her off the slave market. That's what love looks like. And that's an extreme example, but that's what God does for us when he redeems us. That's the type of love that God demonstrates to us, because many times, even as a Christian or believer, we will commit spiritual adultery. We will love things more than we love God. And as he says in the Old Testament, I believe it's in Jeremiah chapter number 3, he says, come on back. Don't live that way. If you truly love me, and then you think about, well, what about, how do I love God this way? And when he says over here, the answer that is given, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy strength. What does that look like? And we think about the story of Abraham and Isaac and how Abraham was willing to offer Isaac. Abraham loved Isaac extremely. It was his child that was the heir, that was the promised son, his child of his old age, all those things. And God comes to him and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And what does he do? Abraham demonstrates his love for the Lord. And God knew that Abraham loved him like that. And obviously God did not allow him to sacrifice his son, but he showed to him that he was willing to. Why is that? That's what love looks like. That's what loving God looks like. The story of Rizpah. We play a little PowerPoint game in the back showing about these different examples, and not everybody knew who Rizpah was, but Rizpah was one of Saul's concubines, had some of Saul's sons, and the sons were hung. And it talked about how the mom, night and day, would stay out there and would make sure that no animals would go to the sons' bodies, no beasts, no birds. She would spend 24 hours a day just keeping them away, making sure that their bodies were not torn to shreds. To me, that looks like she loves her sons. And I think about, you could talk about the woman who washes Jesus' feet with tears. And the Bible, Jesus himself says to her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And you think about that woman, and then you see the example. I thought about Paul's example. I don't know about you, but Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What he's saying is that for myself, I wish that I could be accursed or that I could die and go to hell if it meant that some of my brethren would be saved. Wow. I'm not sure I would say that. Maybe for my sons, my family, but he's talking about his countrymen. I think that's what love looks like. And I think sometimes we're like thinking, well, who loves like that? God loves like that. God teaches us. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about how he's placed it within us. 5:5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you, once again, at this point, what does God say is love? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, most people would call it the love chapter. It's used the word charity there, and the idea, and that word charity is referring to the agape love that God demonstrates to us, but also what he has put into our own hearts. And what, so this is what love looks like according to what the Bible says. Chapter 12 talks about all the different gifts, talk about the different members, a part of the body, and all those different things. But he says in chapter 12 at the end, verse number 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you the more excellent way. He's like, take those gifts, covet those, use those gifts. He says, but there's something that's better. There's something that's greater. Have love when you do it. Have charity. Look, and we're going to read through the majority of this chapter and just very quickly give you some highlights. But this is what love looks like. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So the whole idea there is that if you do it without charity, without love, it's not going to matter. And the idea there is love is higher than sensationalism. Something that is sensational. Oh, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I can impress people. Who cares if it's not done without love? Some people are able to sweet talk somebody and make something sound so sweet and so good and woo the opposite sex. Oh, that's love right there because of the way they can talk to them. If there's no love there, then it's just foolishness. It's lying. Verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. It's more than just being spectacular. It's more than just a show. He says there that love is better and higher than just saying, look at me and all the things I can do. Verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. It's the same thing as love is higher than just giving a sacrifice, because there were people who would drop in money into the offering plates or be willing to sacrifice the animals in the Old Testament, but their heart was far from God. He says, you make sure that you do it with love first. And I see people sometimes that will do spectacular things, or they'll even sacrifice or do sensational things, but if there's not love there, it's not true love. The world says this is how you demonstrate your love. The world says this is how you show your love. But God says this is what it looks like. Look at the description it's given here in verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Suffer long means they're patient, endurance. Kind means an active goodness that goes forth on the behalf of others. It continues on. This is what love or charity looks like. Suffer long, charity envy, if not charity, vaunt if not of self, is not puffed up. So when we're talking about loving one another, it means that we're not envious towards them. It means that, and vaunt if not of self up, literally means I'm not going to make a parade of it. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to draw attention to myself. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to be proud. This is what love looks like. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is never made up. It seeketh not her own. It's talking there about not being selfish or self-centered. It's not easily provoked. It means it keeps no records of evil doings or evil done to it. Thinketh no evil. It means it does not take worthless inventory. Rejoices not in iniquity. It means it does not rejoice in sin or other people's sin. rejoices in the truth. And there's so many times people says, oh, you're going to love them. And even, no, it says it's not going to rejoice in their sin. Instead, you're going to rejoice in the truth. That's what love looks like. This is what God says is love. Beareth all things, gives the idea of enduring and being willing to work with those that even have faults, believeth all things, wanting what's best for them, believing that God can make things work. And then it continues on, hopeth all things. Love always expects the best outcome, endureth all things. It talks about how it's not going to give up. Charity never faileth. When everything else in the world has passed away, there's something that's never going to fail. This is the type of love that God has for us. This is the type of love, he says, this is what love looks like. I don't know about you, but I chuckle, but I'm also discouraged when I see a little 9 or 10 year old trying to date and they said, oh, I'm in love. They don't even know what love is. This is what Bible says is love. Is this what the love that we demonstrate to one another? Is this the type of love that we have? And once again, it's the same thing, I think, as what the Jesus was telling the lawyer. Hey, look, you can't do this on your own. Now, God has shed that love abroad in your heart with his help and with his strength. You're able to be that good Samaritan or show that good Samaritan. And God's love working in us, displayed one to another, is what gives a testimony of being a believer. The Bible even says in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He says, that's what love is. Some people say, I'm a disciple when I dress a certain way, or when I carry a certain Bible, or when I go to a certain church, and all those things are important. I'm a disciple of when I give a bunch of money, or when I disciple when I do this, or when I do that. He says the way the world's going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ is when you learn to love one another. When you learn to take 1 Corinthians 13, it says this is what love looks like, and when you treat one another that way, that's when the world's going to take notice and say, that's what love looks like. That's what Jesus did. He is a follower, a learner of Jesus Christ. When we walk in love for one another, we are walking in obedience to the Lord. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm good at this and I do all those things and I'm the perfect husband for my wife, because I'm not. The perfect father to my children, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to sit there and make up and say, well, the world tells me that this is what love is. And this boy tells me this is what love is. And this girl tells me this is what love looks like. This is what the Bible says. This is what it looks like. And I know the question that went through my mind when I read that is like, who does that? Who is capable of loving that way? I mean, who never looks at themselves first, or who is not envious or doesn't vaunt themselves up, is not puffed up, you know, who loves like that? And the answer is God does. God loves that. So second point, if you're keeping track, is who loves like that? First point was what God says loving another looks like, but what love looks like? This is John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world that hated him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, while we were the enemy of God, while we had sinned and done wrong and went against his ways, Christ died for us. If you can picture us as, I know we're here today and we're dressed and we're not laying on the side of the road like that, like we heard in the story earlier about the man who was robbed, but we had a great need just like that man did. That need was that we were lost and we were all sinners, and the Bible says that we're all headed to a horrible place called hell. We're all on that pathway. But God commendeth, he proved, he demonstrated, he showed his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were on the way to hell, Christ died for us and paid our sin debt for us. And the Bible talks about, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's believing and trusting in him. The person who loves, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, the person who loves like the Good Samaritan did, It's God. And we talk about, I love my church Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit more about that this afternoon. But it's the idea, because he first loved us, that's why we love him. He bought and paid and began this church with his blood. He's instituted this church. He is part of the church. He's a local body of believers that is here. This is what the church is. And we love our church because of the fellowship and because of the service we have, because of the safety that we find, because of the teaching and the opportunity. There's a long list of reasons why people love the church, but it's because it's God who loved us, who started this church. And it lifts him up and puts him first and foremost. So today, do you know God's love? Do you understand God's love? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I hear you talking. I understand that God loves me. How do I make that personal? Well, is that when he says, for God so loved the world, that's included every individual, I believe. And so when you say, and we used to tell the children, Miss Carol taught this to the children last week or 2 weeks ago, that you put your name there. For God so loved Brian Pease that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved Christian Pease that he gave his only begotten son. You make it personal. That whosoever, that if Brian Pease believeth on him, should not perish. The idea of perish means that they're already dying, that they're condemned already. They're sinners. Some people think that when they get to heaven, there's going to be some great big scale that God's up there and he's playing like a game show. And he's put all the good works on one side and all the bad works on one side. And if all the good works equal out and they win over the bad works, you get a ticket to heaven. That sounds kind of neat, but it's nowhere in the Bible. It's just not there. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, we're all lost, and none of us will be able to get to heaven without God's help. And that's why Jesus came, and Jesus, God's Son, God himself that became man for us, so we could know him and become a child of God. This morning, I would love to have somebody, if you say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, I'm not on my way to heaven, I'd like to know more about it, I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you from the Bible that God loves you and that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God and that we are all in need of a Savior and that whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. But he said, of course I believe in God. It's more than just believing in a God. The Pharisees in this book believed in a God. There's lots of people out there that are out there worshiping some God, and they say they worship God. It's believing and understanding what the Scripture says, that we're all lost, all need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, came and died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, and he offers us eternal life. It's whether or not we receive it. By repenting of our unbelief and turning to him and putting our faith and trust in him and him alone for salvation. He said, Pastor, I don't need that. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Pastor, I don't need that. I'm good. I'm fine. The Bible says there that if you don't believe, that you're condemned already. The gavels come and there. You're on your way, but you're not on your way to heaven. He offers that way of eternal life. Don't reject it. Third point, and I'm only going to take a minute on this, maybe two, what God says loving him looks like. What God says loving him looks like. If you went back to Luke chapter 10, it was loving him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, whatever. I know that there's different times in the Bible, so that might not have been the exact quote. But God says, if you say you love God, he says, there's one way to show it. It's found in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The world would say, hey, the person who gives most to the church is the one who loves God the most. Or the person who serves the hardest is the one who loves it. Or the person that's been the most faithful or the most dependable, that's the one. Those are all fruits of loving God. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're not obeying the Lord, then you're truly not showing that you love him. Now, sometimes people will say, from a human standpoint, if you obey me, you're going to love me. That's not what really love is in that idea. But God, there's no other way to demonstrate and show that love but to obey him. He's already done so much for us. And he says, if you truly want to love me, you're going to obey me. Is there something in his word today that you're not obeying him with? Is there something you need to change? This is what love looks like. I love the Lord. Because I love him, I'm going to obey him. So what does love look like? That's amore. Is it the moonlight just right, hitting the pizza pie? Not according to what the scriptures say. And I'm not picking on the song. Once again, I don't even really know the song. One of the ladies had sent a link to the song. And I listened to 20 or 30 seconds of it. And it was cute. It was just, I didn't watch the whole entire thing. I watched some of it just to see. But that's what the world will say. If you do this and that, I don't know how many times people try to convince you, oh, I love you because I did this, or I love you because I did that. Let's go through here. If we really truly love the Lord, we're going to love him. We're going to keep his commandments. And if we want to keep his commandments, there's a certain way that we're supposed to love one another. It is different than what the world is offering you. It is not always. And once again, people physically respond to their love of one another. I understand that. And there's intimacy and all those different other things. I understand that's demonstrations of love. But loving someone, the Bible says, if you're going to love the neighbors yourself, you're going to help them, be an encouragement to them. And 1 Corinthians 13, super convicting passage of scripture. Because when I look at that, I don't always fall. I fall short sometimes. So we gave you lots of things in a short period of time. Hopefully it was encouragement and help. But this morning, the most important question I think you need to ask yourself is, if I died today, would I go to heaven? If not, talk to somebody that knows the Bible and tell you how to get to heaven. Number two, for those that are believers and are on their way to heaven, if I say that I love God, then I want to keep his commandments. Then if he says this is the way I'm supposed to love others, then am I loving others that way? It's not the easiest thing, and you can't do it on your own. You need God's help. This morning, that's love. God showed that when he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Do we demonstrate love to others? Do we love God the way we should? Are we even capable? If you don't know him, you can't love him like you should. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you help us today. You give us exactly what we need from this message. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about loving our husbands better and loving our wives better and loving our children in a biblical way, in a biblical sense. Not just making up things, not just going by what feels right and what feels good, not just doing the things that our parents had done or our grandparents had done, but Lord, that we would biblically look and see that this is the type of love I want to demonstrate to those that I know and those that are close to me, like my family, my friends. But Lord, I pray you also challenge our hearts about taking it a step further. Like we learned from the Good Samaritan. It's not just that. He desires that we would love even those we don't know. Even those we don't feel comfortable around. Even those that we might dislike. Lord, teach us to love that way. Thank you for showing us that example of how you are willing to die for those that were the enemies of the cross. And Lord, that we would know you today. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, that they would come forward, and we'd love to have somebody show them from the Bible how they can be saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.